Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. It's good to have you back, Steve. And do you move freer or a little more carefree when you're in Europe, when you know not many people have a gun, if any?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would, yes. I think that's probably true. But it's also true, I think a lot of times when you go somewhere else, you just assume it's safer than it is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. But I do feel when I'm in countries where I'm pretty certain most people don't have a gun, I don't have that concern that's, you know, just on my back every once in a while, you know. It's not that they don't throw rocks or have a knife or have a variety of other ways to injure or hurt you, but, you know, it's just one of those things that you don't think about when you're over there.
I will say this. I'm much less likely now to wave. Like if I let someone in or they let me in to wave it to them or to make any kind of hand motion here in the past year or two, because I'm never sure how it's going to be taken and I don't want to tick someone off.
Interesting. I'm still a waver. I didn't even think about that. I always take it, well, I'm doing it out of kindness. Hopefully you'll accept it out of kindness. Maybe that's not what happens. Okay, as promised, Representative Sean Casten is with us. He cast his vote today, and of course that is for the Protect Our Kids Act. Sean, thanks for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News. I want to start out the conversation about your daughter and what she decided to enact at her school about stopping the bleeding.
Well, so it's a program that a number of law enforcement professionals have put together that is just completely tragic, and it is a sign that we have failed as a country that we have to do this. What she organized was went with the Lisle Police Department and brought some of the students in a club she founded to go and learn how to respond to someone who's been shot. It's the Stop the Bleed training. Teaches you how to stick your finger in a wound, feel for where the artery is, feel for where the blood is flowing, rip off a piece of your clothing, stuff it in to stop the bleeding, and teaching these students how, you know, if you can help somebody maybe live another 10 or 15 minutes longer, that may be enough for the EMTs to come there. And the central message of that training was that we are living in a world now where the emergency responders, the first responders, are often not the people who are trained to be first responders because the school, the church, the grocery store is still locked down. And they need to train ordinary civilians, and in this case, you know, 15, 16-year-old kids, how to respond. It is tragic that we have to do that.
Is she 15 or 16?
She's now 17. She did this 2 years ago.
Gosh, 2 years ago. I'm shocked at the world we live in sometimes. So let's talk about the Protect Our Kids Act. You voted. Why don't you tell people what that covers?
Well, I want to back up just a little bit before that. This was finally motivated by Uvalde. But we sat in our office to say, how many kids have been shot this year? And I went on the floor this morning because there have been 665 kids in America under the age of 10 who have been shot this year. Don't tell me about they should have had an access to a weapon to self-defense. Some of these were infants. 665 under 10. What we did in this Protect Our Kids Act was really an effort that Robin Kelly and I were pushing for several months ago, before Uvalde, before Buffalo, asking leadership to say you have got to bring up a package of bills dealing with issues around safe storage so that when, you know, if you don't have a gun safely stored in your house, oftentimes that's how kids stumble in and all of a sudden find that they're playing with a gun and somebody gets shot. Banning bump stocks, banning ghost guns, dealing with issues around trafficking. 2/3 of all the gun crimes in Chicago are done with a gun that's been trafficked across our borders, and we don't have federal rules against that. So Congresswoman Kelly and I had led the effort to ask for those things. That is now some of the bills, the ones on safe storage, were specifically the ones that we had in there, but the general theme is what was in there. And so we passed that on the House floor last night. I'm glad we passed it. It was far more partisan than it should have been. But, you know, if we think the most important thing right now is to prevent the gun industry from losing any money, then my colleagues across the aisle did the right thing yesterday. If we think the most important thing is to honor the 21 kids who died in Uvalde, the 665 who have gotten shot so far this year, and make sure it doesn't happen again, then this is the bare minimum. But my goodness, let's pass these into law and get it to the Senate and send it to the president's desk.
So two Democrats did not vote for it. Six Republicans did side and vote with you. And what do you think it's going to progress? Do you think the Senate's going to pass it?
Well, we'll see where the Senate goes. That depends on them. We passed earlier this year H.R. 8 to provide universal background checks, which like 90% of Americans support that, gun owners, non-gun owners alike. We also passed a bill to close the Charleston loophole, which changes the presumption of innocence. Right now, if you are going through a background check and the background check isn't completed, I believe, in 4 days, you get a firearm. And Dylan Roof, when he killed all those parishioners at the Charleston AMA Church, that was how he got his gun. So we passed both of those early in the term. The Senate still has not brought them up to a vote. The Senate is claiming Chris Murphy is doing a good job. Senator Chris Murphy is doing a good job of trying to get together a coalition of people in the Senate who can get through, in spite of the fact that they have a 60-vote threshold to get over the filibuster. I think a lot of us in the House are just fed up with hearing the Senate make excuses for the filibuster.
Well, Congressman, that's my question then. If you talk about different pieces of legislation that have national support among the electorate, some of its widespread support, how is it that you move around the politicians to build the pressure to get some of those things passed if a majority or more than a majority of Americans agree with the idea?
Well, the first answer is vote. I'm under no illusions that, you know, when I won my seat in 2018, a big part of it was because so many of the young folks turned out after Parkland and marched for our lives, and they voted. And that's ultimately how, yeah, that's ultimately how our democracy, it's the only way our democracy can ever save itself. So participate. In the absence of that, we do have a challenge that the Senate is not designed to be a representative body. There's 12 million people in Illinois. We get two senators. There's 570,000 people in Wyoming. They get two senators. And so it is structurally challenging in the Senate because you have things that the overwhelming majority of the American people want that are just difficult because of the structure of the Senate. And I'll leave that on my colleagues in the Senate to address. But know that what we are pushing for, we are pushing for them because the American people want us to do them. And frankly, even if they didn't, I don't want my daughter to have to take another one of these classes in how to pack a wound. I don't want to sit there and say, because your Congress failed to act, you're going to have to figure out how to save a friend. You know, hearing the story, that just heartbreaking story yesterday about Mia Cirillo, who, you know, covered herself in blood in Uvalde so that no one would notice that she was still there. Why are we asking our kids to do that? And how do you, as a United States senator, whether from Illinois or Wyoming or anywhere else, how do you look your kids in the eye at the end of the day and say, I did the right thing today? After Mia is telling that story, but taking a phone from her dead teacher to call 911, why did we make her do that?
I'm with you. And quite honestly, I think that every member of Congress and every member in the Senate should be forced to look at the pictures of the children and what was left behind after the carnage at Robb Elementary School. I think until you are exposed to that and you are forced to look at it, I just don't know how you couldn't be moved.
Yeah.
To some form of action.
I come back. 665 kids under 10 in America have already been shot this year. We are not even halfway through the year. This doesn't happen in other countries.
Thank you for joining us.
It's the problem of having such an easy access to guns. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for voting. Thank you for voting on that and the work you do, because I'm supportive of it. This is Chicago's Afternoon News. That is Congressman Sean Casten. Of course, you're invited to be a part of the show. 312-981-7200. Steve Bertrand is back, and he's got your news next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.